is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 9th of November, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green and Guardian Radio AM, Cecil Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
It's always good to be on your show, Erin, and I appreciate Wednesdays. What is Man Down Wednesday again?
Man Down Wednesday, Mashup Wednesday, but can't be Man Down. We call it Mashup Wednesday.
Mashup.
Can't be Man Down because today got to be Man Up.
Man Up. You got to Man Up?
Well, no. We holding Man Up.
We uplifting men today.
Yeah. I mean, we uplifting them every day. Although some people don't believe that's what we're doing.
Okay.
But we uplift them every day, but today is a special. We can have Mr. David Williams from the International Men's Day Committee in studio.
Amen.
It's a special day.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so today, with our guest, Ian Munnings, we are going to talk about what's happening for 2022's International Men's Day. And then, now that I have a group of men trapped, I mean, in studio with me today, I have a whole bunch of questions that I want to ask y'all, man them. And I think that y'all should, don't wait for me to ask questions, but tell me what you think are the important things that men should be talking about with each other, with themselves, the conversations men should be having with themselves, and the issues that men need society as a whole to focus on with them. It's a great time to be alive, and the theme for this year's International Men's Day is helping men and boys, and there's nothing I like more than helping men and boys help themselves, because ultimately, that's what they want to do. But before we get into that conversation, I don't know if there's any housekeeping, anything you want to touch on, Mr. Newry, Mr. Munnings?
Let's jump into it, man. It's good to have Dave on. And I know that he defends men vigorously.
Amen.
So it should be interesting to hear his ideas. I know the last time we talked about something similar to this, you were viciously attacked. It's just so much a strong word, but criticize.
Yeah.
Saying like you like mash up men too much.
Six video documentary.
Yes, it was like a documentary, a video mentory type thing.
Where
a number of men. And I use the word number loosely, we're concerned that when you speak about men, it seems as if you are jealous of us in general. Mm. I'm not sure why would you be jealous?
Yeah.
See, I'm beating people. Why would you be jealous of men in general? As if you want to replace us, right? And of course, I understood your conversation and it wasn't that. But there are a number of men who are concerned on and you in particular, leading this charge and have a discussion about how to empower men. And I want to start off on that wicket.
Mm-hmm.
Why would people think that you are jealous of us and why they think that you are, as the young people say, low-key attacking us in an underhanded way?
I ain't half mad, you know, because I find it out it's fabulous to be a man. Like, it's fantastic over on that side of the divide. right? So I could understand why men...
You're doing research.
Yeah, y'all should be excited and happy. Y'all is man. And it was like, I can steal some of this magic too.
I watching you, Aaron. I'm saying that. I watching you. You're watching our magic. You're watching our mojo.
I don't blame you.
And you're trying to kidnap some of our magic.
Say, look here. She believes just because she could catch Chick Johnny, she could tame a man. Yeah. No, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't mind that. But what I'm concerned about, though, is that idea that I'm trying to replace a man, that it feels like it only comes out of the space where somebody, like a man, feels like they are replaceable, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's an internal fear that I am replaceable, that I am not enough, you know, in my relationship. I am not enough for my family. And that's a very real place. And people experience that. It's not just men. People experience that. But it's very easy to sort of say, that person is trying to replace me versus I actually don't feel as confident as I should.
But isn't feminism causing that? Y'all are persons who are bringing this feminine cause that we're going to empower women, seemingly with their empowerment, seem to be trying to move us from our traditional roles. You know, you're all making the money, and I'll be saying that, honey, I don't think you should buy that. This is my money, and I can do what I... Same thing. I ain't in charge no more.
You're on a wicket now.
You know? And there are times when you're saying that this is good for the family, and I think that this is what we should do. And a woman making twice as much of your salary now, I said, no, we ain't doing that.
But that's not feminism. Like that's
not feminism?
That's not
that alpha woman. What do you call that? Alpha woman?
Independent woman.
Alpha, yeah?
You see, independent
boss,
woman...
Boss woman.
Boss women.
Yeah.
Independent woman A in a marriage, and a marriage don't have employees. So like those terms, I feel you, those terms are inappropriate for the dynamic we're trying to use them in.
Yeah. So we need to find new terms.
Yeah, I would be concerned if I was a husband and every time I go out the room, I hear them talking about, I's the boss around here, I's the boss woman. It's not a nice dynamic.
So you're no alpha woman, Aaron?
I'm also not a wolf, which really is what... So... Right? No, I'm not an alpha woman. This alpha-beta dynamic has been proven to be, you know, faulty in its use. The person who started using it to assess, like, behavior of animals.
And I can't let you get that go, you know. How do you interpret the term alpha female? Because I know, I understand alpha male. I just don't understand alpha female.
It's rhetoric. Alpha female.
They just talk then. So there's no such thing.
It's just rhetoric. The same way alpha male is just rhetoric.
So what about boss woman? I mean, they use a different word, but boss woman.
But listen, if you... these terms in a very isolated space and situation can be empowering for a moment, but I think holistically across the board, we find out that these aren't the terms that we want to use. Because if there's a boss, there must be employees. And if there's a boss and an employee, there must be an imbalance.
So what about independent woman?
You could be an independent woman.
And they want date? How you could be independent and date?
You could be independent and date.
What?
How you want to be independent and get married? Why use that language? Why not say, look here, I want to be a self-sufficient woman, right?
I think that is the basis that in our 21st century, the women are using to prove that they can sustain themselves without the male presence of saying what should be done on or looking at the respect of what a man should do. I think a man looks at things from a different perspective than a female does. A man needs respect. He doesn't really need love. A woman needs love. She is a nurturer of love. She is a person. That's why she is in a feeling. She is. A man is totally different.
So no. Man needs love as well.
No. Man needs respect.
We're teaching this in my class.
Our kind of love, I think, is respect.
No.
If you take away the level of respect that you would give a man, then you've just killed him as an individual.
But let's put love and respect as two separate things that men need both of. Now, but let's talk about respect, right? Living in 2022, in what we call a post-colonial world, but is really neo-colonial, which means that all of them old systems that subjugated the black man and made him feel like he's lesser than, those systems appear and operate in different ways. So it's very important for a man, right, to be respected, to feel that he is being respected. It's very important for a man when he comes home to his house, for the people that love him and support him, particularly his significant other, to know that she understands the environment that he works in every day and that the levels of disrespect that he is forced to swallow in order to maintain his plan. A wife, when a husband comes home, right, should know that, look here, this man been on this job, and we know, I know this boy them is like, try talk to him bad. We know that his boss is disrespectful and uses this type of dynamic, right? Like, mash you down to maintain discipline. So a wife, knowing that her husband works in that type of environment, right? When he comes home, should be cognizant of that, aware of that. And when she engages him, should engage him in a way that knows that he's been through pressure throughout this day. And that when he comes home, he wants to be able to feel like a man, knowing that to make this paycheck, I couldn't tell my boss he's being rude and disrespectful to me today. And needs. In the same way, when a woman comes home from work, right? She needs her husband, her man, to understand that I've been on this road all day.
Listen.
And hold on. And I cute, you know. I little cute. These man them been talking to me. Sweet thing. Cherry pie in the can. On the job, these boy them been. So you don't want, let's go to lunch. So when she comes home, she needs a husband that understands that her sexual and physical boundaries may have been pressed all day. These boy them be pressing up on me all day. My boss don't respect that I have a man and that I'm an employee. He press up on me all day. When I come home, I need a husband that understands that I need time to heal from that. I need a husband that respects and understands that all of my bodily boundaries were tested today. And I need, even if for a moment, a space within which somebody respects my autonomy. We both need that, right? Men need love too, equally to the respect. Because I rowing you because I feel like you dissing yourself and you not giving yourself enough. You not allowing yourself to experience the things that you should be able to experience as a man. The love and the respect, they are separate and the same. You should respect that man because you love him. But even when you mad at him or you don't respect a decision that he made, you still have to figure out how to engage with him lovingly. And you deserve that.
You know what I'd like to say? Morning, everyone tuning in. First, and I begin by talking about the brokenness. My nonprofit, my non-government organization, whatever faith-based, whatever word we use, is called Uplifting Men. Mm-hmm. And that was not no accident, right? Now, it was actually launched for me in 2011. I went to visit Kenya. I spent 2 weeks in Kenya. And I spoke, I did a conference, and that's where I launched it. And I like to always give credit to Pastor Miles Monroe, because he was the single individual that gave me information that helped me. But I say all that to say, so Uplifting Men, that's what I believe I was born to do, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, my first pillar is built on five pillars, and my first pillar is always spiritual enrichment. As you know, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, I believe that it has to come back to men. I'm talking about having a relationship with Christ. The theme for International Men's is actually men leading by example. And I truly believe that the example comes from a relationship with Christ God, not a church, not a denomination. But I say all that to you to say this. Men, in my opinion, well, not in my opinion, is a fact. Men has been broken too. A lot of the focus has been on women who have been broken, and they have. I'm not denying that. But in my space, I encounter many men who have been broken. As you know, I have spent the last 22 years of my life in volunteer service in the prison, mm-hmm. right? So, and even since my semi-retirement from BEC, now I'm still there. I encounter many broken men, right? So to some persons, they are hardened criminals and whatever in the time. But the point is, my point in all of this is that men has been broken. We need to lift up men. We need to encourage men. I believe too, again, and this is not a good word, Cecil and Munnings, this is not a good word. I also believe in men being the leaders. Now, in the spaces that I go in, working with the Department of Gender, working with the Crisis Center, and all of these spaces, when you hear that word, that is seen in a negative light. What? Oh, y'all, men has used the Bible to come down and to harm and to beat women. Nope. There are many men who, like myself, I'm sure you can testify. You believe in being, the Bible gives it leaders. And by man being the head person in charge does not mean you beat your wife or your girlfriend and vice versa. All you're saying, as the leader, you take the ultimate responsibility. So I say all that to say, so men have been broken. And in this space, women and men, as we work together, we must always remember that men themselves has been broken. And we got to reach out to them. We got to move the competitiveness. You see what I'm saying? Let's remove that. Classic example. I went to the women's suffrage movement. I supported them Sunday, where they talked about men and women and the family. And someone told me that Mother Pratt spoke highly about the fact that she appreciate her husband. She got his permission or consult with him on a number of things. You see what I'm saying? She worked together. So we all know what Mother Pratt has done in her own right. But the fact is, she's still respected. Who I know who worked with me to be as her leader. And they had a beautiful relationship. It didn't stop her from going into politics. She assigned the deputy. And so I'm saying, we got to move this competitiveness and let's work together. And last point I'll make, I spoke at DeSanto last year, and I know they invited me again this year. And a lot of focus was on women and girls and children. And when I spoke to that event, the Prime Minister's wife was there. And I said to all of them, remember, we're losing a lot of our men. We can't always talk about violence against women and girls and men getting slaughtered on the street daily. Yeah. They your brothers, your future, your husbands, you name it. So I'm just saying, because a lot of times, when I talk about men and uplifting men, people always bring the angle of the women. All I'm saying is I acknowledge that as men, we've gone far away from, I believe, the mandate that God has called us to be. This is why we have all of these challenges. But in us supporting our women and us encouraging our women, we must always still look out for the protection of our men. That's what I want to say.
I'm listening. And Mr. Williams always used, because of his faith, the Bible as his blueprint.
Yeah.
Right? And I can appreciate that. But historically, we know the Bible has bashed many women and kept them down for centuries. Right? The same way how the Bible has beaten many colored people in general. And to see him enamored in love with the same scriptures, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I understand being going to a Christian church also. But knowing that narrative, I'm not sure if it's fair for we to demand that women humble themselves and make way for men and using the scriptures as the blueprint for that narrative.
Well, okay, so I don't think it's women humbling themselves, like.
No, they gotta humble themselves.
But in a negative sense, right? It's like humbling yourself to the relationship. I'm not humbling myself to this man. He's not humbling himself to me. We're humbling ourselves to the union that we have created, right?
And see, and perhaps no one understands what you mean by union. And humbling yourself to union. Now you've just using these cliche words, but it doesn't make sense.
To the relationship.
Is it that or the authority?
Go back to authority. Now I got to understand what authority is.
Right.
But I don't understand what you mean with the relationship.
But the authority is God, right? Then you humbling yourself. It's not to the partner.
Right.
It's to the rules that God said are best for a relationship like this from that Christian perspective.
And let me because of my relationship with God, right? I'm going to beat my wife or another female. Because of my relationship with God, I'm not going to rape her, right? Because of my relationship with God, I'm going to like and love people and exist in the space no matter who they are or what they believe, because I acknowledge, even though we disagree based on my belief on something, but you and I will still sit down in a space, we can have a discussion like now, or we can sit down and have, I drink Vitamalt, if you drink whatever you drink. You see, it is that, because the principle of the same God or the same Bible that we talk about is that I must love you in spite of the fact that we differ, right? But I must still show love for you, because Jesus says, by this, by love, all men shall know me. So that's why, in my case, Cecil, I use that. That's the principle. Because of this principle, I'm not going to stand by and watch a young boy hit on a girl. Or you see what I'm saying? Because it's the principle. I'm not going to stand by and watch a male or a female hit on somebody of a lesbian or a homosexual.
But I think a lot of that comes from the upbringing and teaching of a child, of the upbringing of them, teaching them the values of what a man's responsibility is and what a woman is. Because most of the men that you find that will beat a female, so forth, ask them the question, will you beat your mother? Will you beat your sister?
But I can tell you this. I think if you are, if you really delve into it, the man who would beat a woman, deep down inside, they have some trauma that's unprocessed, and they want to be their mother. Now, not as an adult. The small child in them that still remembers that moment of the power imbalance wishes that they had the strength to respond differently. And that unprocessed trauma leads into their behavior as adults.
And I hear you, Aaron. And I remember the census or the
study from UB.
The study for UB. Where the women them saying, if you don't choke me, you don't hit me, you ain't interested in me. So I want a rough man. I want a bad man. I want a man who have a gun. What is it?
Gunman and
a
she.
Gunman and
no. Yeah, that's the lyric. We don't.
I just know reverse. I got a flashback about a political song. political song, I wasn't sure of the words, but with that study, how can you mention traditional roles when we no longer have traditional women, we no longer have traditional men, and who are comfortable, and you might say, oh, they're going to trauma. They say, this is not trauma. This is who I am. You are traumatizing me by dictating to me that I shouldn't be like who I am.
Yeah, man. I'm traumatizing you by telling you that something that you have felt is normal your whole life is actually wrong. That is traumatizing.
But that we can have be said about everything.
We have to be... it can be. And we have to be very careful how we engage people. Like this whole social movement thing, there's a responsibility. You can't force people into an environment they are unprepared for. You cause even more trauma. So we got to be very, very careful about how we do it, right? But there's no space in which you could tell me that is, it may be normal, but it ain't right for a young girl, because that study included 10th grade and 12th grade students, I think.
Predominantly women. Predominantly women.
They interviewed. That's a good point.
Predominantly women.
The study.
The census will show. Are more females that are located in the universities census, anywhere else
right,
than yes, there are males.
Yeah, you're right.
And they went to high schools as well. Listen, it was 10th grade and 12th grade high schoolers, so it was an even balance of male and female. But what I'm saying is that there's no way that we could sit here and say that it's normal, right? That it's okay and that it's traditional for 15-year-olds to say, I expect my boyfriend to mash me up if he suspects me of flirting with another boy.
But there's a reason.
There
is a reason behind the wicked there. You have to remember the days when my grandmother and your grandmother existed, if they are still alive. The women then were traditionally different. We can see that now. We can see when granddaddy used to go out or whatever he used to do. What Grammy would have kept in and kept away from the children is not today. If they see it, if you do it, I can do it back. If he can do that, then I can do that back. So the women are changed. They have changed. So we even looking like you're looking at the roles of the females, what they're accepting.
Now there's a
most
change.
Most of them accepting because the houses have no male roles.
I'll
because
argue,
if you have a father, he is not going to allow some male to just do what he feel like doing to you. Not as a real father. I don't know any. Because I think if you beat my daughter, I don't think there's a place on the planet you could hide.
But if you beaten your wife and someone beating your daughter, that should be normal.
But I wouldn't beat my wife because then I respect my wife and I would respect my mother and I respect my sister.
But you ever tried to start a fight between husband and wife and what happened?
They might gang you.
You might gang you.
But Ian, the young lady that watches her father beat her mother is less likely to go to her father and say, my boyfriend is beating me. And so what you experience in your personal or familial culture is different from what other people are experiencing in their personal
Definitely.
And familial culture, right? But let's talk about, I mean, we could talk about the traditional roles of the man and the traditional roles of the woman. I agree with you that generations past, I would say my generation before that, and I'm 46, there were just things the children didn't see. We had to be in bed by 10... But no. Well, when I was 5, 7:30, but when I was a little older, Saturday night programming, Thursday night programming, because I was Bill Cosby, different world, 10 p.m. was the cutoff, right? And then you had to go to bed. Things have definitely changed. There's an overexposure. Young people are exposed to things before their time, right? There's early sexual initiation. There's over-sexualization generally, where the whole space is just saturated with sex and things above the age grade.
The external information is now coming home now to roost them.
But haven't we gone away from the Christian morals and the Christian values that all of us have grown up with?
Agreed.
That same study, if I remember, I didn't see the part what Cecil mentioned, but I remember reading about the capital and the corporal punishment. I remember reading that in the study, right? So I'm saying these Christian values and principles that we all grew up with, yes, in some case, I admit it was hard or harsh, but they played a role in shaping us.
It was necessary.
I think this little exercise right now, right? Uh-huh. Watch this. Beaten with the switch? You weren't the first generation to get beaten with switch, right?
No.
Generations before that got beaten with switch, right?
Right.
And generations before that got beaten with switch, right?
Right, right.
So, is it fair to say that not beaten children anymore is the problem? Everybody get beat with switch, but look at us. I don't think my generation is okay. I don't think the generation before mine is okay. I don't think it's fair to say that it's because we ain't beating people anymore.
I think we should look at it from a different perspective. I think that during the eras then when we were chastising the children, I call it chastising, right?
Okay.
I think that the children developed a level of respect.
Uh-huh.
When they saw you, they would have said, good afternoon.
Okay, no,
now
no,
they
pause.
Would literally run you over without saying, uh-huh, good afternoon.
Hold on, pause. I think two things are going on there. I think we confuse outright fair with respect. I think we, in many instances, we confuse fair with respect. And I think this is an important discussion for young men and the development of young men. And how do we know that somebody is obeying us because they respect us? And how do we know somebody is obeying us?
But you need both. You need both. There's both you need. And I'll ask you the question. Cecil, being in school, then you had a senior master, right? And
yes.
Preferably was a male. And if something went wrong in school, right? What happened if you did something wrong?
You get punished, you get spanking.
The thought of knowing that he was coming around the bend with that, I don't know what he used. What did he use at the time?
Okay, but high school, they had a cane called Black Beauty.
Okay.
And in primary school, the principal had a ruler, and she would half it. So you get the edge of it,
mm-hmm,
and she'll chop you with it. Chop you in your back, chop you in your head, which I call abuse, right?
Yeah, that's a bit extreme, but
yes,
nevertheless.
And mind you, and you get chopped for coming to school late, and your parents had to walk you for miles and get it there, and you get you late, and they just chop you in your head. And
were
say,
you in time after?
No, I just decided to duck school when I realized I could be late, because I get tired of getting
okay,
chopped.
Okay, listen, that's the music. We got to go to a break. I want to slip this in here as we go to the break.
I still haven't flashed back.
I think we...
Yeah, trauma.
I think we need to...
I get trauma.
I think we need to acknowledge that this country has been run for many years on psychological abuse.
For chopping.
And I put you in this world and I can take you out and the police too busy to come and investigate.
See, that's good for you.
Yeah. There you go. But we got to go to a break, Ian. David Williams, yeah. Cecil Newry. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue this man up. Can't call it man down. On the Clock Guardian Radio AM mashup. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. You are on the On The Clock Guardian Radio AM mashup. Cannot call it Man Down this Wednesday because it's only man up. We only bigging up man. But more importantly, we are creating a space for men to have the conversation with each other and with the wider public, right? That's what we're trying to do today. Trying to create a space. It's International Men's Day on the 19th. That's Saturday the 19th. Of November 2022. Now remember, it's November the 19th every year. It falls on a Saturday this year. And it falls in with some really great days. We get National Women's Day. It's the 25th. Is it the 26th? Anyway, I think the 25th. And then we have Women's Anniversary of Women's Suffrage in Women's Week. We got Human Rights Defender Day coming up December 9th, Women's Human Rights Defender Day coming up the 23rd, I think, or 29th of November. Plenty, plenty big things going on. Let's get quickly, before we forget, there are a number of activities for International Day this year. On Sunday, there is the church service at Chapel on the Hill.
Right. That's so Sunday, there's a church service, 4 o'clock. So I inviting Munning's son, C.A. Newry, to come as my special guest.
You want to serve any food? No refreshment?
You could invite me. I was polite enough not to ask for refreshments. No, it's okay.
All right.
It's okay.
I'm trying
to come to International Men's Day?
Yeah. No. Yes, no, we're inviting women too, because women support our men.
Yeah.
And Aaron always support me with my men's program.
Let's go back to refreshments.
Right. I'm talking with the committee now to see how we can. As a matter of fact, I can put it out there then. 433-6917, 433-6917. That's my number. If you can assist me in putting together some light refreshments, sandwich and drinks, of course, donation, that'll be a plus because we're not an organization with any funds yet. But there's a church service for 4 p.m. It'll be nice if we can have at least some water and, you know, some sandwiches afterwards. And we're inviting the women to come out. The speaker's Pastor Anthony Sands. He's actually president of Prison Fellowship Bahamas. And the women from Prison Fellowship Bahamas, who happens to be 80% of our membership, will be out there to support their president, who's the guest speaker.
Nice.
So we're just inviting women to come out and, you know, let us know. And then the plan is from Monday the 14th to have school visits. And so we are asking all men to make arrangements. I went to see the big CC Sweeting, Mother Pratt say, Cobra's Pride staying alive. So we're making arrangements to go into the schools to talk with the boys, even if only 15 to 20 minutes.
Look here, that'd be a great start of school activity. They do it in the States, where men from the community, they come to welcome the young men into school, create a safe environment outside of the school, and let them know that they are respected and they are seen and loved.
Right, and so we sent a letter to the director of education. We're hoping to get a response as quick as possible. I made contact with the principal of the school that I attend, and, you know, so we're just saying, even if it's only 15 minutes, it don't have to be long. Just have, I want to bring in some men, I want to bring in some, and if you're listening and you have contacts with the school, you can contact me at 433-6917 for Monday morning. I'll get a speaker there. As you know, I work with Prison Fellowship. I have numerous young men, young boys who have had negative challenges in life, and they have overcome them, and I can bring in speakers. And then on the 16th, we're going to do a walkabout. That's Wednesday, next week, Wednesday, 5:30. Dr. Reed and I had an Wednesday to visit the mother of the young lady who was shot in Rock Cushion. I mean, we've done that on numerous occasions, Dr. Carlos Reed and I, and that's a moving experience. But what we want to do is go back into the Rock Crusher for we call it a community walkabout, where we use this opportunity to go to men who normally would not come into a church or any other space, where we sit down, we talk with them. Those of us as Christians, we would pray. Others who just want to talk, we just sit down and we talk and we share. That's what we're going to do. And then Friday, November 18th, we have a Stop the Violence concert at the park on Monte Heights. So we'll have a number of persons who will be singing. It begins at 7 p.m. All are invited. You don't have to be from Monte Heights. And all of these are partnership with the police. So unless there are persons who may have some fear, we work along with the Urban Renewal Team led by Superintendent Campbell. And the climax is November 19th. That's International Men's Day. For the last 4 years, International Men's Day was actually birthed through the now Prime Minister and Minister Fred Mitchell. They saw the conference taking place in another Caribbean country. They came back in 2018, asked why it didn't happen in the Bahamas. They commissioned Keith Cox and the late Terrence Battle. Terrence Battle recruited me because he knew I was always interested in men's program. And that's how we got started, right? But we're having an award ceremony at the IMD Muriel. Now, what is unique about the Muriel? We're the first in the world have a Muriel where we have our ceremonies. And a speaker will be the Honorable Minister Obi Whitcomb, Minister of Social Services.
So IMD, International Men's Day Local Committee, has a mural site, and that's where you're
right. Nice. Right up, anytime you pass the Sports Center, the Thomas A. Robinson Stadium, and you look to the right, where all those murals are, you'll see one right there with International Men's Day. It's blue and white. So the ceremony will be there, and what we do, we honor a number of men throughout the Bahamas. So we have a nominee from Bimini, somebody from Exuma, somebody from Eleuthrop, and a couple of persons from here.
I can applaud that.
Yes.
And I think that more men should stand up. I think it takes a village to raise the children. I think that we as men should stand up in our communities, stand up in our houses. I think we need to be able to stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. And we have to bring forth some level of changes to our country.
Right. Men leading by example and with the march. Because, you know, Cecil knew and Aaron knew. I was here. We had the march. Now, the march, the sad thing for me was that the march was not as supported as I would have liked. We had persons from the police, the defense force, the prison, and a number of other organizations. But I said it to say, because what you said, we need more of us as men. You see, that's the challenge. We need more of us as men. Men leading by example, we need us as men to rise up and to say, hey, let's get involved. I am a leader. And that's why we keep using this theme. The theme this year is men leading by example. We look into positive men. And this is not just, in case people understand, it's not just for Christians. You understand me? It's an organization for men to lead by examples. We've invited the Rastas. We invited the Lodge. We've invited the sports people. That's what this is about. Men leading by example. Mm-hmm. This is what we're trying to establish. And so I'm inviting persons in your space. Bring out your men's group to the service Sunday. Bring them out to any of the events. My number, again, is 433-6917. I always share it. It's an open number. Share it with somebody. They want more information. If you want me to send you the flyer, share it. Because my passion is to encourage our men to be leaders. This is why, like I say, and I'll end with this, why I call me the prison ministry. I go to those, the lowest. Persons whom you don't get no thanks per se. You know what the joy I get, Aaron and Jen? You know the joy I get? Last week I was at the gas station. They're filling up my car. And I heard this gentleman call me. Now, when I look, I didn't recognize him. So I wasn't too sure, and he's on the phone. So I continued with the filling up the car. And then he called me again. So I walk over to him. He said, yeah, Dave. I said, what's happening, man? He said, boy, you don't remember me? Now, in my mind, I didn't know where I know him from. I didn't know him. But 9 out of 10 times when men encounter me on the streets, if I don't know you personally, it's prison. Because I think you're talking about 22 years. So he said, yeah, man, you promised me one book, and I went right in the car, and I got the book. He said, man, I said, give me a number because I normally get their number to stay in touch with them and update them on events. But the point is, I'm saying, these are persons, this is not glamorous. You're not, the newspaper not going to follow you everywhere. But for the last 22 years, I was doing it. And even when I left BEC early and continue to do it. So, because these are persons, like I said, men are broken too. And we need to lift them up. Now, of course, they're always the negative side. You get the criticism. Oh, throw the key away and lock them up. But they're coming back into society.
The moral fabric of a country is not determined on the best things that are offered in the country, but it's determined on the worst things in the country.
All right, gentlemen, I got a call here.
Okay, all right.
And we done missed a couple calls.
Oh, yes.
We can get back to it, though, because I can't do it. We can get back to that, too. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dave. This is Dark in the West, along with you on your panel, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayman. How you do?
I'm willing, thank God. We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
You know, I listen in to the brothers, but you know, you can't sing it. You got to bring it. The thing is, there are three things in the Bible in which God gives you to govern yourself by. Heirs, Philios and Agape.
Mm-hmm.
They're the three loves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The other thing is, right? Other thing is, right, is cleave. You understand what I'm saying? A husband and a wife supposed to cleave to each other.
Mm-hmm.
A husband and a wife supposed to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when that's not happening, what are you going to have? Chaos.
Yes, sir.
Among the children and other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. You see, just look for one set of people to talk to or to have to help you speak to people. You got to get in the community, to the downtrodden, the little children. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You don't look for special people to march with you.
Absolutely.
You know, you look for the people who are suffering, and you got to know to communicate to people. What I found out, most of our people in the Bahamas do not know how to communicate with each other.
Yep.
Can I ask Brayman a question?
Yeah,
Brayman?
He's off the line.
Oh.
But ask the question anyway.
I guess I wanted to find out why he always say to this dark universe. That's what I wanted to know. I always hear him say that. What's so dark about the universe? But anyway.
It's El Galactica.
Don't watch nothing. Hopefully he'll answer that tomorrow. Brayman, call in tomorrow. I know he's blind, but I didn't think that was the reason. But look here, that's why I like my producer here. Thank you, Kim.
You living doctors.
Look here. I got another text. It says, oh my God, no disrespect. Needs you gay. The text is talking to me, obviously. Y'all can't be serious again. These disingenuous discussions are very disrespectful. God ordained certain things that y'all don't honor. Y'all keep discussing these things. Y'all don't discuss brave jumping ship. Dear Texter, I just want to say, I don't know what a man needs. That's why I have this whole show today, to ask men what they need in an attempt to give them a space so they could say in multiple ways, right? Like Brayman say, you got to learn how to communicate to people. Well, what that really means is that people receive information differently. So I want to create as many ways as possible for men to talk to other men about what's happening with them, right? That's it. That's it. We're trying to have the discussion. We're trying to help men. I've given these men an opportunity to lead by example.
Right.
I'm trying to help men. It's obvious that men are in crisis. That part is true.
Yes.
It's obvious that men are in crisis. I don't think they're happy. I don't think they feel safe. I don't think they feel respected or loved. And I think for many men in this society, they feel like a soul no longer a man. Because society tells me if I can't pay these bills, if I can't make these people in my family, my woman, look a certain way and have a certain thing, then I am nothing.
Yes.
Right? I think there's lots of things that we need to talk about. Now, I'm not a man. That is obvious. Does that mean that I shouldn't be concerned? Does it mean that I shouldn't care?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean that I shouldn't use my knowledge, my brains, to try and find solutions for men? I should just sit back and say, kiki, kiki, let the man destroy thyself.
Yes.
Even if I am gay, I love men. I love my brothers. I love my cousins. I even love the boy them who say they love me, but really they just want to, you know, have a little intimate relationship with me. I love them too. I love the Bahamian. Look here, the Bahamian man tell me, gentlemen, the Bahamian man tell me, listen, Miss Green, you don't even waste your time running hot. I's man. And as long as you talking to me, I happy. You could knock me down with this car right now. And as long as you peek your head out that car and say, you bugger, you all right? You ain't dead yet? I could be happy because you talking to me. I love them too. I don't have to be straight to love man. I don't have to be straight to want the best for man. My own child, my own man child, to have a deep, deep desire to see men feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel pity. I have pity in my heart. I look in around and I say, look at these boy them. What must you be experiencing in your life, in your heart, in your home to come out on the road and act like this? There is a problem. And everybody who say they love man, woman and man, because you gotta love yourself, we gotta invest deeply in finding the solution. That's it, Texter. That's all. We ain't dissing God. Ain't none of that. We're trying to create a space for men the same way we create a space for women. That's it. Simple.
I think that we are challenged, Aaron, and I said challenge men in general. The other day, I drove on Blue Hill Road South, and before I can reach to the intersection where Prince Will was from Blue Hill Hill by Sid's Bar, literally, I counted about 60 young men, 60 young men.
Right.
Either they were just in a comatose state.
Right into the mic, yeah.
Either they were in a comatose state, whether they were like a zombie, or whether they were stuck to the bar, drinking on the floor. 60 young men. How many of those what I saw on the road that were women? I didn't see any on the side of the road. And that did something to me.
Yes.
I think I spoke to a friend of mine. I was like, is this what the future of our country looks like?
Right.
Is this our alternative to our solutions? Mm-hmm. I think we have to really wake up and look at the fabric of what a man is and challenge the system to say, hey, we have to wake up, stand up. We have to do something, some intervention.
Yes.
Our young men in the schools, every day we're seeing they're fighting, yes. Young as they are, 14, right. 15,
yes.
Whether it's knives or guns, whatever
yes.
it is.
Yes.
We're challenged, we're seeing 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds are gunned down. We're seeing them in high-speed chases with the police officers.
Yeah.
We're seeing them doing all sorts of things in the Bahamas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that the wake-up call is needed now.
Yes.
We've seen the murder rate in our country.
Yes.
The double homicides.
Yes.
Not to say that those things aren't happening one or two bases to females.
Right.
I'm saying they are predominantly happening to men.
That's correct. You're correct. You're right. Mm-hmm.
We look at an overburdened prison system, correctional yes. facility.
Yes.
We see we are overburdened by males.
Yes. Let me give you little small statistics. There's less than, not that we want to compare, there's less than 60 women in the Department of Corrections. There's over 1,200 men. You see the big disparity, right?
And how many prison was designed to host how many men?
They say 500 to 600.
Okay.
The other thing too, what you just shared, a couple of weeks ago, now this isn't the first time I've seen this, but for some reason, this particular day, I was on remand. I was running some classes. When I walk in remand, there was I hope this don't be controversial. Anyway, there was a 15-year-old young man up there, right? I guess the government must have the reason why he was there. Man, and when I saw that young man, because I had to ask him, I said, how old is he? And he's talking to guys, 20-something. And on top of that, he's small. Maybe that's the reason why it caught my attention. And I look at that disparity. And my heart dropped. It might be too, because I have a 15-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because I said to the chaplain, I said, listen to me, classes. I said, I want persons like him. Bring me all the juveniles in my classes. Because when you think of it, and he's being influenced, well, it wasn't a negative, but the point is, he's talking to like a 20-something-year-old person, like 10 years older than him. What type of conversation could they have? you understand me? In that sense. You see, and that really moved me that something got to be done.
But listen, I want to ask the question, do men care about other men? Because how could the prison system, the culture of rape in prison, how is this exist? Do men care enough about other men to stop it? It just needs to stop. And what are men prepared to do to stop the rape culture in prison? The idea that when you go to prison, you know that there's a 90% chance that you're going to be approached, that you're going to encounter this situation. How is it that men sit here?
I don't think it's 90% though. I mean, percentage.
No, I'm not saying it's 90%. Hold on, Ian. Okay. I'm not saying that 90% of men experience rape. I'm saying there's a 90% chance that you're going to encounter somebody who's going to try and do that to you.
I think if you boy them, going to have intentions in them, and that's in them. Because no straight-laced male, mm-hmm. I don't care what environment you put him in, he's not going to conform to say do those things
studies,
unless that's already in it.
The studies prove.
Right. And that, it's all fairness on both sides now, because I can tell you from the female section now, I can tell you get quite a number of women
of
that persuasion themselves. And I can tell you that because I do go in the female prison. But to answer your question, Like you say, too, I don't think it's 90%,
no.
Right? Because, you know, people generally tend to border with persons of their own persuasion.
Definitely.
But like you said, that don't stop a person from approaching, whether it's a male or a female. And this is why I think that each of us as persons got to know who we are, what we believe,
definitely,
what we stand up for.
Look here, when we come back from this break, I feel the need to ask y'all again. Because the boy them can't be coming out of prison talking just foolishness. Why are men not ending rape culture, particularly in prison? Why are men not focused on that? Anyway, that's the music. That means we have to go to a break. And when we come back from the break, I may not even be in this chair. Cecil Newry may be here, but we'll definitely continue the On The Clock Guardian Radio AM mashup. Gotta go to the news. We'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson, the test, always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.